2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 15.
Okay, so I'll read from the New American Standards Bible.
Yes, that's
and
fine.
It says, okay. Right. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will make an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf.
Thank you. Rather lengthy reading. The goodness of God and the goal of the Christian. Well, right through what we read here, there's a wonderful progression as you look at the two chapters which you read, rather lengthy, moving from the state of being an unbeliever to eventually the final salvation when we are with the Lord. So in other words, we're starting from the position of being unsaved to the glorious promises of the Lord to take us to be with himself, and we are saved. So we moved when we were unbelievers. We had like a veil over our understanding, like a veil over our eyes. But that veil is removed so that we now have the advantage of being people of the Lord. So in one sense, by grace, we move on to glory. We move from rags to righteousness, or because of the Lord Jesus. So here we have in these few verses that were read to us, the gospel of the glory of Christ has shone in our hearts. Look in chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. Chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. The gospel of the glory of Christ, whose image of God, should shine on them, on us. And verse 6, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So in that case, we spiritually see him. Look in chapter 5, but just a bit beyond where we read, verses 17 and 18 of chapter 5. 17 and 18 of chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, yes, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh and blood for us, died on the cross for us, that because we believe in him, we should no longer live to ourselves, but live unto him. And that's certainly very true. So that's a challenge. The gospel of the glory of Christ has shone into our hearts. That's certainly true. So when you think about it, reconciled to Almighty God. And in the light of that, we have a ministry of reconciliation to encourage people to turn to the Lord for salvation. What a responsibility we have here. And we are also called ministers of righteousness. Look in chapter 5 with me again, down to verse 18 to 20. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 18 to 20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our ministry, to plead with others, to encourage others to be reconciled to God and to become his sons and daughters. And we become a new creation when we do. So we're called to plead, even plead with others to be reconciled to God. When we're reconciled, we're recreated and we have newness of life, new creatures. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, which is Romans 1:16. So the gospel of Christ, seen in the glory of Christ, this has shone into our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been born again. We have a spiritual sight. We see, we understand more than we ever did before, and that is so important. So the gospel of the glory of Christ has shone into our hearts, and we even now cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father. We're reconciled to him through the work of Christ at the cross and the empty tomb, of course. So that's the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the garment of righteousness. The garment of righteousness. Excuse me. The garment of righteousness is something which we put on. It's like a clothing. We put on the righteousness of Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you go on to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verses 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. This is what happened when we become believers. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which is created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. That's what the new life is all about in Christ. The old man is crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, as we have earlier. We're now living in the new man. Put off the old, put on the new, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is what's happened to us as believers. Putting on the new man, created by the Lord, given his righteousness, and we are progressing in true holiness. Holiness or sanctification is a lifetime experience of growth. When we're with the Lord, we should be like him. We should be truly, fully holy, but not here in this life. We grow in holiness. We grow in sanctification. That's the word here. So the garment of the Christian is the righteousness of Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told, and put off the old man and the ways of the old man. Would you go over from Ephesians to Colossians, please? Go on to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, please. And look at verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are renewed in knowledge. We know him, whereas beforehand we did not. And that's what it says. He has created that new life. We renewed in knowledge of knowing him. That's so important. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we have. We put off the old man? Yes, we should. We're to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. So Jesus says, now, do you remember what Jesus said about the piece of cloth back in the Gospels? There were two pieces of cloth. He said, you can't sew a piece of shrunk cloth into, well, let's turn to it. I think we can find it here. If I got a note of it, have I got it here? I'm not sure if I put it in. Anyway, you can't mix the old cloth of the former ways with the new cloth of the garment of righteousness. The old is to be put off and discarded. Jesus said, put off the old piece of cloth and become a new piece of cloth. You can't put a piece of unshrunk cloth into a shrunk cloth. It will shrink and break up and come away. You can't do it. We all have to become new. A new clothing, if you like putting it that way, a new piece of clothing. So a new garment, which is the righteousness of Christ, the old one is to be put off and discarded. Remembering what we find in the Old Testament, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's no good to us. Don't accept that, do we? Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off self-righteousness, putting on Christ's righteousness. And that's what we've done as believers. We're standing in the righteousness which Christ has given us from himself in our salvation experience. So we're called to walk properly, to walk uprightly in our Christian life. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we are pleading with others to be reconciled to him as well. Very important. So Jesus said, you can't mix the old former ways, like an old piece of cloth, with a new piece of cloth. One will be shrunk away and will not mix. You can't do that. So the old is to be put off and thrown away, and we find the Lord. Now, just go back to 2 Corinthians, where we were once before, please, if you're still with me. Going back to 2 Corinthians, I want to go back to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Just going back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And would you look, please, at verse 18. The goodness of God, we've seen that. He's forgiven us. He's given us salvation. He's given us his righteousness put to our account, a new piece of cloth, a new way of living, new birth, new creation, new spiritual life. We didn't have it before. So the goal of the Christian, the goodness of God we've seen, the goal of the Christian, what we look at now. So back in 2 Corinthians 4 and looking at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we walk by faith. We have that inner sight, if you like, to know what lies ahead for each one of us. And verse 14, go back to verse 14, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Now, and that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, the Apostle Paul writing. So he says there, he said, we are going to be raised up, we're going to be raptured or raised up, whichever it shall be, to that new man, fully complete with a new body. Amen to that. So that's one. We have the old to be put off, the old to be discarded, self-righteous, filthy rags, off, and we've already put on the new man, put on the new life in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. We put off what we don't need, we put on what we do need, and we're called ambassadors. And an ambassador is one who represents a king in a foreign country. Well, isn't that what we do? Although he's not king of the church, but he's our Lord. We are representing him in this world of darkness that is around us. So we're called not only to represent him, but as far as we can in this life, to live like he did. There's some demand upon us, isn't it? I know that. So that's certainly true. So we think about that. The goal of the Christian, one day we shall be with him. And would you go over to Colossians 3? Please, Colossians chapter 3. Two pages ahead. Colossians chapter 3, and look from verse 1, 2 Corinthians 3, sorry, Colossians chapter 3, we read from verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, so we are spiritually speaking, seek those things which are above, keep our mind on our goal, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Well, I hope perhaps those things don't apply to us. Others may. So it says, you once walked like that, you once lived like that, but now put off these things. Verse 8. Anger. Yes, we can get angry sometimes. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger. That's controlled anger. But uncontrolled anger is what this means. Wrath, almost the same. Malice, that's evil planning for something. Evil planning in your mind. Malice. What you plan to do to somebody. Blasphemy. Oh dear, filthy language out of your mouth. No, thank you. Do not lie one to another. Verse 9. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man. We read that before. We know that's very wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. You see, we've been raised with Christ, spiritually speaking, and we're called to look above and to seek the things which are of Christ. Be ready for where we're going to be living. In other words, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the throne. Keep in mind, I know we live with our feet on the earth down here, but our eyes must have heavenly mindedness, not to be no earthly good. Heavenly minded, yes, but you must be earthly good as well. Be salt and life down here, but we're called to keep our minds on where we're going. That's the goal of the Christian. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are down here. Put off the old man, putting on the new man. Very practical way we live. We're an ambassador. We represent the Lord in this life down here for him. We're ambassadors. We're representatives of the coming Lord of glory. So that's a new quality of life. the Lord, in a sense, yeah, in one sense, we model our life here on his life. But of course, he's the Son of God, fully sinless. We can't be like that. But we can have him as our representative. We keep our eyes on him. And as the Holy Spirit gives us strength, so we live as we ought to live. To live as we ought to live. These things are what we should. So that's the, if you like, the goodness of God brought us to salvation, made us sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. We have a glorious future ahead. This is not our home. We're only passing through. And so we have the garment of righteousness ready to equip us to live in his presence forever. We need his righteousness. We need to be clothed with his righteousness where we are, so that we are being prepared to live with him forever. This is not our home. We know we have to live down here and do all things that require down here, but our home is with the Lord, and that's where we're headed, forever with him. That's the goal of the Christian, certainly true. So let's just go back to 2 Corinthians just a moment, where we were. We're dashing about a bit, I know. 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, once again. Turning back a few pages. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, yeah. Here we are. Where we see the goal of the Christian. We read verse 18 of chapter 4. We look at it again. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. We do not look at the things which are seen, that which is around us, but the things which are not seen, that which is above, spiritual, or that the scriptures teach us. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. And that's, our home is eternal. No question about that. And in over into chapter 5, while we're here, once again, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Living for Christ is our daily goal, our daily motive, being down here. That's so true. And we're called, as Colossians says, seek the things that are above, not the things which are on the earth, which are only temporary. We seek the things which are timeless and eternal. That's so true. And all that preparation of being a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus, putting off the old ways, putting off the old cloth, putting off the old garment, that's no good, and put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. That's our goal, and the goodness of the Lord providing for us. Would you just go back to Romans chapter 8 for me, for yourself? Romans chapter 8. One second, find it. Romans chapter 8, here we are. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. This is our destiny, if you like. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, that's you and me, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. One day we're going to be like him and see him as he is. Be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and so on. A very important scripture there. He is going to make us like himself in character and quality of life. We're going to be like Jesus, not physically, but spiritual quality and likeness of life. That's how we are going. That's the aim. That's the goal. That's where we're going. Hallelujah for that. So we're going to be transformed. Look in verse 29 again. We should be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8, 29. That's God's purpose. That's the Father's purpose for you and for me. We're going to be made like his Son. Wonder whether your family, your sons and daughters, if you have one, and people might say to a son, My, doesn't he look like his father? Well, do you look like your heavenly father in character and quality of life? Do you look like Jesus in quality and character of life? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? But that's the goal of the Christian. That's where we're going. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Go to chapter 12 of Romans, would you? Chapter 12. It's one you know very well. You know chapter 12, 1 and 2 very well, I'm sure. Romans 12. We're called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to the Lord. Verse 1. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There you have it. Not confirmation, confirmed down to the systems or the ways of this world, not the systems of life, but to be transformed by having our minds renewed. It's not a spiritual birth, but our mind to be renewed in thinking right, thinking above, thinking godly, and living it. That's important. That's our goal too. Wonderful. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians 9. We are dashing about a bit, aren't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So I can get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. You see, we are running a race, aren't we? Now, we don't compete with others. You compete with yourself. What's how you were running last year in the Christian life, how you're running last 6 months in the Christian life. You only compare yourself with what you were, not with any other Christian. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, meaning self-control. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. That's the various games. But we, for an imperishable crown, an imperishable crown. The Lord has 5 crowns to give faithful Christians for various reasons. That's so important. An imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty, that as I fight as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection. When I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. No, he said, don't be like that at all. So we're running a race of the Christian life. We only compete with ourselves. That's the goal of the Christian, running the life, running the race set before us in this life. Would you go over to Hebrews, please? While we're just moving around the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 is one we want. Hebrews chapter 12. We know this very well by running the race. Hebrews chapter 12, the first 3 verses. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. We're all talking about growth, strength, Christ-likeness, going on with the Lord, and running a race, competing only with ourselves, what we were before. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and those witnesses are all of the Old Testament saints in chapter 11. That's a cloud of witnesses. So they link with chapter 12, verse 1, with the whole of chapter 11. All the names of the people who got through in the Old Testament, all their names. So great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. Stick at it. Get fit for it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility, verse 3, from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Running the race, you're set before us, competing only with yourself, but aim high. Aim high. Lay aside the weight of things that drag us down. Put off the old. Put on the new. Now we're dashing around the scriptures again, I hope you don't mind. But Philippians chapter 3. Don't you find it? It's important. Philippians chapter 3. From verse 12. The theme is the same. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12. Through to 15. And Paul's own testimony, if you like. Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He's given me salvation. He's got a grip on my life. He's leading me through it. He's leading me on. He's got a grip on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it. I don't understand everything he says. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, pressing on, looking at the final position, our final goal of the Christian is to be with the Lord. When anyone is ploughing, think of the old way of ploughing with horses, these lovely old horses. When the farmer wanted to plough a straight furrow, he looked ahead to the end of the field and kept his eye on the end of the field part, and he ploughed a straight furrow. Keep an eye on your goal, looking ahead, and you won't wobble. You keep an eye on your destiny, which is Christ and his presence, and you plough a straight furrow and plough a straight line. You won't wobble here and wobble there. That's certainly what he's saying. So we're very encouraged by that. I trust so anyway. So let's read on from Philippians chapter 3. Let's read verse 13 again. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, don't understand everything then. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward to things which are ahead, looking for that final goal and plowing a straight furrow. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a prize at the end of the road. What's that prize? What the Lord would say to us, well done, a good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's one prize. Another prize is rewards, different crowns. It's well worth it. Aim high. Go for the end of the tape, run the race straight. So it says in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. It's the first part. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, looking ahead, running the race, being fit for the race, looking at the end product, looking at the end of the road, if you like, or the end of the field when you're ploughing, and being with Christ. That's so important. That's our goal. That's where we're going. Wonderful. Aim high. Press on, he says. This is the goal that lies ahead. There's a hymn which says, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Yeah, that's it. That's what that hymn says. So let's move on. Faith will soon become sight. What is the guarantee of the Christian? Well, let's go back to where we were with 2 Corinthians. Just a few more minutes. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'd like to find it again. Look from verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. Look from verse 5 again. Now he who prepared us for this very thing is God. He's doing this. He's prepared us. He prepared a home for us. So Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm then coming back for you to take you to be with me where I am. That's certainly true. He's prepared us for this very thing is God, who's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. A guarantee. The word there in the Greek means a down payment or an engagement ring. You, if you like, are engaged to Christ, spiritually speaking. And therefore, there's a marriage to come in his presence. We have his engagement ring as the intended bride of Christ. Now, marriage isn't like our marriage here. It means a deeper union with him. That's what marriage is with the Lord, a deeper union with him. And we're being prepared for that. Verse 5, one is prepared for us. This is God himself, the Father, giving us the Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment, a pledge, a promise. I'm going to keep it, says the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, that's what we often pray for. So whether we make it our aim, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, we make it our aim, whether we're present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Now, the motive of that, of course, is in the next verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not punishment. Christ took on punishment on the cross. This is the judgment of reward. This is the reward throne, the Bema throne of Christ, where he will reward us. We must all appear, every believer, before the judgment or reward seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body in life down here, according to what is done or whether good or bad. That's so important. The reward throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very wonderful, isn't it? So eventually faith one day will be moved into sight. There's a promise and a preparation of the Lord. Just very quickly, I'm going to finish in a moment. Very quickly. Of course, in life, we groan in this body. As the Apostle Paul said, we groan in this body. We're desiring a new body, aren't we? But there's a new body coming. I don't know about you, but I think I need a new body right now, but not yet. So the groan of the Christian, we know that in this life, we look around us, and as in Romans 8, we groan, we look around and see all the things happening in the world, and we groan at what there is here. Longing to be with Christ, I hope, eventually, but we're down here to be ambassadors and useful for him while we are here. His witnesses, we are here. But praise the Lord, it may not only be the groan of the Christian, but also there's an important gathering to be with Christ. Oh, yes. Gathering of the Christians. Wonderful, that is it. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. The Apostle Paul is going to be there too. We're all going to be raised up to be with the Lord, and we've presented all to him. Glory, the gathering of the Christians together. Look in chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I already read that. Each one may receive things done in the body. We're going to meet the Lord. We're going to wait for, hopefully, his reward decisions, the different crowns in the Bible as well. I won't consider that this evening. That's another thing. But hallelujah, and I'm going to finish it. Not only the groan of the Christian down here in this body, seeing what around it, the gathering of the Christians to be with the Lord forever, but also the glory for the Christian, the glory for the Christian. This is a final result of the progress of the grace of God in our lives. Oh, what grace. Oh, what glory is to come. The glory. How would you explain glory? What's glory? How do we give extra words to that word glory? Majesty? Splendor? Brightness? Great shining? Brilliance, that's glory. We're going to see that. We're going to have the glory in our lives as well, because we're sons and daughters of the Father. We're going to be like him, sons and daughters like the Father. What a change is going to come. Think about that. The change is going to come to your life and to mine. our body is going to be changed completely to live in his eternal presence with a new body. We're going to be like Christ in character and quality of life. We're not going to be gods. We're going to be sons and daughters of the Lord God. Wonderful. The glory is coming. That's the final promise. What grace, what glory is coming. There's going to be an abundant entrance into that everlasting kingdom. Now, would you go finally to 2 Peter chapter 1? And we'll close for tonight. Could say more, but I won't. 2 Peter, please. I think it's a good place to finish for tonight, actually. 2 Peter, please. In chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. To begin with, let's look in chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at this. Let's start in verse 3. Start in verse 3, please. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, you have been given everything you need. Use it and apply it. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, his own glory, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Can you measure exceedingly? No. Beyond all measure. Great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, that's where it is. Verses 3, 4, and look in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, taking great care to add to your faith virtue, godliness, moral godliness. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, know the Lord better. To knowledge, self-control, control yourself. Self-control, perseverance, pressing on against all odds, any difficulties, human, personal, the world around us, whatever it is, pressing on. It's so important. Pressing on. We have escaped the divine, we have escaped in a new nature, partakers of the divine nature, verse 4, escaped the corruption in the world, yes. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, we've got that, and godliness. Next step in perseverance is godly living. Let's slow down a bit here. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Oh, why don't Christians love one another more? In the early church, and even in the Gospels, the people around Jesus and the Gospels and his disciples, they said to him, see how they love one another. What a challenge. Can the world around us see that in us? See how they love one another? Wow. But that's right. And so it is. Brotherly kindness, love in verse 7. For these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even the blindness, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's the backslider. We won't go into that. We are partakers of the divine nature. We're going to be sons and daughters of the Lord God. So he said, now look, make these things your aim. Very important. Add, multiply. When these things abound in your life, you will never be barren as a Christian. Do you feel your life barren as a Christian? I hope not. But be diligent. Be determined. Take great care of your calling by the Lord to be his own. There's going to be an abundant entrance into the Lord's presence. And while we're in 2 Peter, look down to verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter, stay there. Verses 10 and 11, if we come to a close. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, even more careful than normal, to make your calling and election sure. Think about that. For if you do these things, being diligent, you will never stumble. Challenge. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He said, you might be like a sailing ship on the rough seas, the oceans of life. You might be battered by the seas and the storms of life. You might have your sails torn. You might have your mast smashed. But you're pressing on to the final harbor where you can lay anchor. Pressing on through. You may be battered. The sailing ship may be buffeted. Maybe many storms of life that have taken its toll. But he said the ship is still going on. Still going on to that final harbor of blessedness. The entrance of the everlasting kingdom. That's our final harbor. That's our final destiny. So hallelujah for that. That's so important. That is your glory for the Christian, to be with the Lord. How are you growing as a Christian? And I close here now, it's 5 to 8. How's your growth? I know we're like a sailing ship battered by the storms of life. Our sails are torn, masts might be broken. We still got an anchor. And our anchor is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's certainly true. So press on, aim high, go for the final goal, look to the highest, keep your eye on things above and not on things on the earth. Grow as a Christian, growth in your maturity with the Lord. What was the final thought? The goodness of God and the goal of the Christian. Goodness of God in his grace and mercy to save us, to make us his own, be sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, be called God Father. The goodness of God, the goal of the Christian, to be with the Lord forever. Don't deserve it, but that's grace. By grace, he's called us. One day, maybe very soon, he's going to call us out to be with him forever. The dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord with them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. May the Lord encourage you in your Christian walk, running the race, aiming high, looking upward, for your redemption is drawing even nearer than when we first believed. Amen.